Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Friday, January 15th, 2021. Let's go to page one, where there is a huge photograph of a large plane on the front page of the paper. The caption reads, Illinois National Guard 182nd Airlift Wing maintenance workers load three large pallets of supplies and equipment onto a C-130 transport plane Thursday in Peoria as the first of some 200 guardsmen deploy to Washington, D.C. to prepare for the presidential inauguration. And the headline reads, Illinois National Guard departs for inauguration. 200 sent to D.C. for historic mission, others in Springfield. This story is datelined Peoria. Technical Sergeant Jacob Mouchon and Airman Bridget Wood did not know where they would sleep Thursday night. They didn't know where they would land their plane or what their orders were. They don't even know when they will return to Illinois. But they did know that they are among 200 Illinois National Guard members deploying in what their leaders called a historic mission to secure the U.S. Capitol for the inauguration of Joe Biden as the 46th President of the United States. It is an honor to wear this uniform, Wood said. Mouchon, age 29, of Peoria, and Wood, age 20, of Morton, are two of 18 members of the Illinois National Guard 182nd Airlift Wing Security Forces based in Peoria, who left Thursday morning to provide security at the U.S. Capitol on Inauguration Day. There, they will join more than 20,000 National Guard members securing Capitol Hill ahead of concerns for potential violence following the January 6th storming of the U.S. Capitol. Governor J.B. Pritzker on Tuesday activated around 200 guardsmen to provide additional security on Inauguration Day. That includes security forces from the 183rd Wing based in Springfield and the 126th Air Refueling Wing based at Scott Air Force Base, and around 100 military police soldiers with the 494th Maneuver Enhancement Brigade's 33rd Military Police Battalion. We are going in there prepared for anything that might come, said Mouchon, who is also a criminal analyst with the Peoria Police Department. I am very excited to support this mission. It has been an unprecedented year for guard operations for the 182nd Airlift Wing, officials said with Thursday. The state called on the guard, many of whom are students and civilian workers, for help on multiple occasions over the past year. In March, 43 Guard members assisted in the state's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Members of the Security Forces unit were activated over the summer to support the Peoria Police Department during a civil disobedience mission. Wood, a freshman at Illinois State University studying business and marketing, was in her first week of online classes when she learned that she would be sent to Washington. Without any idea when she will return to normal, Wood will have to keep up with her studies from wherever she is based. I'm going to try my best, she said Thursday morning. It definitely is kind of stressful. Mouchon has served in the National Guard for 9 years. In that time, he has been deployed to Afghanistan, where he was stationed for around 10 months, and he has helped on several other missions. Although both he and Wood are nervous for the coming days, he said, we prepare for this not just a few days before, but all year. The goal of the mission is to provide support and to keep any protests as peaceful as possible, he said. Use of force is contingent on the situation, but he said the Guard does not want to use any force at all. When you're deployed to the Middle East, we're at war, said Mouchon, which he said is different from their mission in Washington, where the people on the other side of the fence are Americans. They're our brothers and sisters. And our next front page story is a national one also. It is about the economy and COVID. The title reads, Biden unveils $1.9 trillion aid plan, goal to speed shots stabilize the economy. This is an Associated Press story, Dateline Wilmington, Delaware. Saying that the nation faces a crisis of deep human suffering, President-elect Joe Biden unveiled a $1.9 trillion coronavirus plan Thursday to turn the tide on the pandemic, speeding up vaccines and pumping out financial help to those struggling with the prolonged economic fallout. Called the American Rescue Plan, the legislative proposal would meet Biden's goal of administering 100 million vaccines by the 100th day of his administration, while advancing his objective of reopening most schools by the spring. On a parallel track, he believes it will deliver another round. He believes it will deliver another round of aid to stabilize the economy, while the public health effort seeks the upper hand on the pandemic. His plan includes $1,400 checks for most Americans, which on top of $600 provided in the most recent COVID-19 bill would bring the total to the $2,000 that Biden has called for. It would also extend a temporary boost in unemployment benefits and a moratorium on evictions and foreclosures through September. And it shoehorns in long-term Democratic policy aims such as increasing the minimum wage to $15 an hour, expanding paid leave for workers, and increasing tax credits for families with children. The last item would make it easier for women to go back to work, which in turn would help the economy recover. The plan comes as a divided nation is in the grip of the pandemic's most dangerous wave yet. So far, more than 385,000 people have died of COVID-19 in the U.S., and government numbers out Thursday reported a jump in weekly unemployment claims to 965,000, a sign that rising infections are forcing businesses to cut back and lay off workers. Economists say that once coronavirus vaccines are more widely distributed, a broader recovery should take hold in the second half of the year. Yet, many analysts also worry that with millions of Americans still unemployed and as many as one in six small companies going out of business, people who have been hurt most by the downturn won't likely benefit from a recovery anytime soon. While prospects for the economy later in 2021 are upbeat, the labor market recovery has taken a step backward, said Nancy Van den Houten, an economist at Oxford Economics, and we expect claims to remain elevated with the risk that they rise from last week's levels. And this next front page story is about the COVID vaccine on a more local level. The headline reads, State reports only 132 fully vaccinated in McLean County. This story is datelined Normal. In the weeks since the first official shipment of COVID-19 vaccine arrived in McLean County, December 21st, more than 4,000 people have received at least one shot in the two-dose system, but the number does not reflect that less than 0.1% of the county's overall population has been fully vaccinated, meaning those who have received both doses. Data from the Illinois Department of Public Health as of Thursday afternoon reported 132 county residents as having received both doses of the vaccine, with 4,631 people receiving one part. Both the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine require a 3 to 4 week wait between doses. Right now, McLean County remains in phase 1A of the state's distribution plan, which, given limited quantities of the vaccine, means healthcare workers and people who live in long-term care facilities are the only people eligible to receive the vaccine. That could be changing, Public Health Administrator Jessica McKnight told McLean County Board of Health members Wednesday night that officials are planning for an anticipated transition from Phase 1A into Phase 1B soon. What soon means is not entirely clear. Asked for clarification by the Pantograph, McKnight wrote the following in an email. Meaning, once the Illinois Department of Public Health approves it, we will shift into Phase 1B of the vaccination administration schedule, and we anticipate receiving that authorization soon. Phase 1B would significantly expand the pool of those getting the vaccine, since it allows people 65 years and older to get the shots, as well as non-healthcare frontline essential workers, which includes people who work in manufacturing, grocery stores, education, prisons, and public transit, among others. IDPH guidance describes the onset of Phase 1B as when Illinois makes substantial progress in Phase 1A and federal vaccine deliveries increase. During a COVID-19 press conference last week, Governor J.B. Pritzker estimated that would happen within a few weeks. McKnight told Board of Health members Wednesday that those deliveries are continuing to come in lean quantities. Vaccine is still very limited at this time, she said. The county receives weekly allotments from IDPH, and we find out week to week how much that's going to be, and it is still very limited right now. Public health officials set a goal of distributing 100% of the doses, which have so far been Moderna, that do come in, she added. Our plan is that between us and our other healthcare partners is that we're administering as close to 100% of our received doses within the following week, McKnight said. Like I said, it comes sometimes at different times during the week, so I can't say on the same week we receive it, but we are planning to administer as much as we can as quickly as we can. McLean County received its first initial shipment of vaccine 1 week later than 50 others in the state, Coles, DeWitt, and Macon counties among them, since at the time it was not among those counties marking the highest death rates per capita. County Board Member Susan Schaefer urged more patience with the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in the county during the board's first meeting of the year Thursday night. Schaefer, the County Board's Health Committee Chairwoman and a member of the McLean County Board of Health, asked County Board members to dispel misinformation about the vaccine distribution to their constituents. She said she has seen a perception on social media and in the public that the McLean County Health Department is moving slowly with the rollout. The Illinois Department of Public Health controls just about everything, Schaefer said. When and how much vaccine we're getting is not consistent at all, she added. We don't know from 1 week to the next how much we're getting. We get a little bit of a warning, but we don't know when it's coming. So it's very challenging for the health department to provide information. McLean County Board members should also expect to receive the first dose of vaccine in the coming weeks and months. And the last front page story is about the Trump impeachment. It is headlined, Trial to Focus on President's Rhetoric. Advocates say pattern of election claims led to riot, no date set. This is an Associated Press story, datelined Washington. President Donald Trump's historic second impeachment could go to trial as soon as Inauguration Day, with U.S. senators serving not only as jurors, but as shaken personal witnesses and victims of the deadly siege of the Capitol by a mob of his supporters. Trump is the only president to be twice impeached and the first to be prosecuted as he leaves the White House, an ever more extraordinary end to the defeated president's tenure. In pursuing conviction, House impeachment managers said Thursday they will be making the case that Trump's incendiary rhetoric hours before the bloody attack on the Capitol was not isolated, but rather part of an escalating campaign to overturn the November election results. It culminated, they will argue, in the Republican president's rally cry to fight like hell as Congress was tallying the Electoral College votes to confirm that he had lost to Democrat Joe Biden. The trial could begin shortly after Biden takes the oath of office next Wednesday, but some Democrats are pushing for a later trial to give him time to set up his administration and work on other priorities. No date has been set. Already, National Guard troops flood the city and protect the Capitol amid warnings of more violence ahead of the inaugural. It is a far different picture due to the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the threats of violence from the traditional pomp and peaceful transfer of power. Whenever it starts, the impeachment trial will force a further reckoning for the Republican Party and the senators who largely stood by Trump throughout his presidency and allowed him to spread false attacks against the 2020 election. Last week's assault angered lawmakers, stunned the nation, and flashed unsettling imagery around the globe, the most serious breach of the Capitol since the War of 1812 and the worst by homegrown intruders. The only path to any reunification of this broken and divided country is by shining a light on the truth, said Representative Madeline Dean, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, who will serve as an impeachment manager. That is what the trial in the Senate will be about, she told the Associated Press Thursday. Trump was impeached Wednesday by the House on a single charge, incitement of insurrection, in lightning-quick proceedings just a week after the siege. 10 Republicans joined all Democrats in the 232-203 vote to impeach. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell is open to considering impeachment, having told associates he is done with Trump, but he has not signaled how he would vote. McConnell continues to hold great sway in his party, even though convening the trial next week could be among his last acts as majority leader as Democrats prepare to take control of the Senate. No president has ever been convicted in the Senate, and it would take a two-thirds vote against Trump, an extremely high hurdle. Two new senators from Georgia, both Democrats, are to be sworn in, leaving the chamber divided 50-50. That will tip the majority to the Democrats once Kamala Harris takes office. The vice president serves as tiebreaker. But conviction of Trump is not out of the realm of possibility, especially as corporations and wealthy political donors distance themselves from his brand of politics and the Republicans who stood by his attempt to overturn the election. And we will move now to local and state news. The first story is headlined, Many Ways to Fix Intersection. IDOT presents 7 options for Veterans Parkway at Empire. And this story is accompanied by a photo of that intersection with the caption reading, Traffic flows south at Veterans Parkway and Empire Street in Bloomington. 7 options are being considered to replace the intersection. This story is datelined Bloomington. 7 options are being considered to replace the site of Bloomington Normal's most dangerous intersection, IDOT engineers said Thursday. In virtual meetings Thursday night, project engineers and managers with the Illinois Department of Transportation, Quig Engineering, and White & Company presented potential improvements for the intersection of Veterans Parkway, which is Interstate 55 business, and Empire Street, which is Illinois Route 9. Seth Johnson, project manager for Quig Engineering, said because this intersection is actually made up of 5 intersections, when additional routes for turns are considered and the amount of signage could contribute to the high frequency of crashes. Each individual intersection operate fairly well, but if you're viewing it as a driver, you're going through 2 or 3 of these intersections, whereas in other locations you might only go through 1, he said. So you might not be delayed a lot at each of the individual intersections, but for some of those movements, you are getting delayed multiple times, and it adds up. Traffic and intersection improvement feasibility studies indicate from 2013 to 2017, 160 crashes occurred at this intersection, with 50% of those being rear-end crashes, 31% of crashes involved personal injury to some degree, said Jake Hull, project manager for White & Company. 8 ideas were presented, including leaving the existing intersection as is. 4 of the options include the construction of a bridge. The bridges would allow for through traffic to continue on one of the roads, the left turns to be isolated, or other traffic separations. 1 option combines a roundabout for Empire's traffic and continuous flow for veterans. Residents were invited to ask questions during the meeting. In a poll at the end of the first session, 31% said they preferred the single-point urban interchange option, which lifts veterans onto a bridge when it crosses Empire. Excluding the option to leave the existing intersection, the estimated costs of the projects range from $11.1 million for the throughabout option to $51.2 million for the diverging diamond, which includes a bridge that puts Empire over veterans. The plans and recordings of the presentation will be available Friday on veteransparkwayoutreach.com, where residents can give feedback until February 15th. Some short-term modifications have been made in recent years in an effort to address safety, including replaced pavement markings, restriped crosswalks, and replaced guardrails. Despite these changes, the intersection still had the highest potential for safety improvement in IDOT District 5, Hull said. In 2019, the intersection topped the list with the most crashes in Bloomington, 18, a ranking that it has held for the past 5 consecutive years. Figures for 2020 are not yet available. Several residents who submitted questions during the meeting asked about the proposed walking and bike path that would be aligned with Route 9. The intersection currently has no pedestrian crosswalks, and in 2018 and 2019, at least 2 fatal crashes involved pedestrians. In each of the redesigns presented, a multi-use pathway was included separate from the roadway. And this story is headlined, "Push to Reopen Schools Growing." It's from the Associated Press. State leaders around the U.S. are increasingly pushing for schools to reopen this winter, pressuring them even, as teachers begin to gain access to the vaccine against the raging pandemic. Ohio's governor offered to give vaccinations to teachers at the start of February, provided their school districts agree to resume at least some in-person instruction by March 1st. In Arizona, where teachers began receiving shots this week, the governor warned schools that he expects students back in the classroom despite objections from top education officials and the highest COVID-19 diagnosis rate in the nation over the past week. "We will not be funding empty seats or allowing schools to remain in a perpetual state of closure," said Republican Governor Doug Ducey. Children still need to learn, even in a pandemic. Leaders of Arizona's major hospitals disagreed with the governor's position, noting at a news conference Wednesday that the state is teetering on the brink of having to ration life-saving care. "We understand that learning and bringing our children together is very important," said Dr. Michael White of Valleywise Health. "But at this time, with uncontrolled spread of the virus, we need to do things that we know will reduce the chance that the virus will spread and that is not gathering, and that is not gathering with people we don't live with." Chicago began a phased-in reopening of its schools this week, with about 6,000 pre-kindergarten and special education students expected to return to classrooms and other grades set to follow in the coming weeks. Illinois teachers are not eligible for vaccines yet, but Chicago officials are providing virus tests on school grounds for staff. Chicago teachers who were punished for refusing to show up for classes over COVID-19 concerns demonstrated Wednesday outside the school board president's home. Roughly 150 employees were initially docked pay and locked out of the school system, meaning they can't teach remotely either. District officials said late Wednesday the number dropped to 100 as employees returned to work or had a valid excuse. I don't believe it's safe to reopen the schools. I don't believe it's safe for my family. I live with an elderly mom. I don't believe it is safe for the city's children or their families, said Kirsten Roberts, a pre-kindergarten teacher. The U.S. recorded an all-time one-day high of 4,327 deaths on Tuesday, according to Johns Hopkins University. The nation's overall death toll from COVID-19 has topped 380,000, closing in fast on the number of Americans killed in World War II. Confirmed infections have reached about 23 million. President-elect Joe Biden initially pledged to reopen a majority of the nation's schools in his first 100 days, but recently revised that goal to most of the country's K-8 schools. He has said teachers should be eligible for vaccinations as soon as possible after those who are at highest risk. And some states aren't waiting, but the process can be scattershot. And this local story is about Eastland Mall. Christopher and Banks declares bankruptcy. Christopher and Banks is the latest retailer to file for bankruptcy, and it may be going out of business. The women's apparel chain, which has a store at the Eastland Mall in Bloomington, said Thursday it filed voluntary petitions for Chapter 11 in U.S. bankruptcy court for the District of New Jersey. Christopher & Banks said it has launched a store closing and liquidation process as it is in active discussion with potential buyers and expects to close a large portion, if not all, of its stores. The chain also has stores in 22 other Illinois communities, including Forsyth, Champaign, Effingham, Mattoon, Peoria, Springfield, and Danville. And this story is headlined, Woman Accused of Bank Fraud, Dateline Bloomington. An Indiana woman is accused of defrauding two banks in Normal last January. Latia K. Hinkle, age 42, is charged with two counts of burglary, two counts of financial institution fraud, one count of identity theft, and one count of theft. A prosecutor said Hinkle of Gary, Indiana, received a cash advance of $5,000 at one Commerce Bank location and requested a cash advance of $6,500 from another on January 10, 2020. According to the probable cause statement read in court Thursday, Hinkle is accused of using a fake identification card and fake credit card at both banks. Normal police were called to investigate the second incident when a bank manager determined the person by the name Hinkle used was in Florida at the time. A warrant for Hinkle's arrest was issued March 5th, and she was taken into McLean County custody Wednesday. A prosecutor said she was picked up on the warrant in August, but was not transported to McLean County until this week. Hinkle was released on a $50,000 personal recognizance bond. An arraignment was scheduled for February 19th. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, January 15th, 2021. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.